Thanks very much for talking to me today, Matt. I actually saw your film at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and I'm not surprised it won the Best Short because it was just fabulous. Yeah, no, it was really, I became terribly enthusiastic after seeing your film, and I'd like you to tell my listeners what it was about.
The film is about an artist, an English artist called Patrick Waterhouse, who has been working with the Wallapoo Art Centre out on Walpiri Country in the towns of Yindaboo and Nerepee. And if your listeners don't know where that is, I'm not surprised. They are two tiny little dots in the desert, around 3 and 4 hours from Alice Springs, and populations of Nerepee is a couple hundred and Yindaboo is about 500, which is actually considered to be quite a big community out in that part of the world. And Patrick, this English artist, was working with the Art Centre over 10 years. And what he did was he gathered a bunch of different colonial documents from the time of English settlement in Australia. So these included old oil paintings, maps, educational propaganda, you could call it, from that time. And he brought it out into country and got the indigenous artists of the Wallacoolunga Art Centre to paint over it with the idea of filling in the gaps and the misinformation that the Europeans failed to recognise when they did settle in Australia. And so it's this collaboration of West and Indigenous culture and trying to create a more complete and whole story. And the coin termed by the artists out there was fixing up Whitefella documents.
Yeah, that's right. And it goes right straight to the heart of the propaganda that the Europeans civilized the country, and without them, it would never have reached the its potential.
Yeah, that's right. The film talks about how when Europeans first settled, a lot of Indigenous culture is psychological and spiritual and spoken. So because they couldn't see documents that resembled their own, they couldn't see clear demarcated borders, didn't have an understanding of their culture and their spirituality, they assumed that there were none of these things when actually these things are, older than, almost older than time. So that's what the film looks at, and through the painting on over the top of these documents, hopefully it creates a more holistic story of what Australia is today. It's a combination of both.
Well, I reckon it was really moving. I found it incredibly moving. Not to begin with, I felt like a light had been a match had been struck. You know that a fire was in my mind about the differences. I mean, because you know that the country that you're in isn't telling you all the stories because you don't have the equipment to understand or translate. But these people are so generous. They actively work together to create this whole other understanding of the landscapes that have completely escaped Europeans.
Yeah, I mean, it's that old adage that history is written by the victor, and because the European settlement was so dominant and brutal towards the Indigenous culture, a lot of that has been lost. But it, actually, you go out to these communities and it's not lost, it's still alive and well. And just by the nature of where these places are, and living in Sydney here where I live at the moment, like you often don't get to experience or see those stories. But it, for me, making it was incredibly, it was a great experience to, and a privilege of an experience to see those stories and that culture up close and personal, because it's not something you get to see living in the city every day.
Well, also, because this is a short film, which is actually perfect because it means it gets the medicine across very palatably. Tell me about the making, because you've done it in a way that's really poetic almost. You do it
Yeah.
really well.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll go back to the context of kind of why the film was made. So these artworks that Patrick and the Art Center were creating. They are going, they're in an exhibition at the moment in Germany, and the plan is to tour that exhibition to art galleries around the world. I believe it's coming to Melbourne next year and Sydney to Captain Cook's house, which will be an interesting place to view all those artworks. So the film was made as an explainer to the exhibition. So when people go into the gallery or to this exhibition, there's going to be, well, in Germany at the moment, for example, there's a screening room where people watch the film, get a bit of context and understand what the whole concept is about before they go in and look at these artworks. So that was the context under the film was made. And then, yeah, as to making it, it was we made it over 3 weeks, and I was living in Alice Springs at the time, so I spent the 3 weeks out in Yindamu and Nirrappi, and it was a pretty, if you haven't been to that part of the world, it's full-on desert. It's hot. It's quite inhospitable, but also incredibly beautiful as well. You know, you got the red earth and these incredible sites and rock features, and it's really quite stunning. So as a filmmaker, it was both incredibly difficult because, you know, oftentimes you'd be filming in 40 degrees and a lot of flies crawling all over you, but at the same time, so rewarding because, you know, it's hard to take a wrong frame when everything looks so gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also choreographed. Like the opening sequence is so beautiful. Like you're in the landscape and the two worlds meet with the artist coming towards the beautiful old fella, towards each other. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's an incredible place. And I, after living in the desert for a few years, I implore any Australians that can get out there to do it, because it's much more interesting and incredibly beautiful, and it's a wonderful place to visit, and you haven't seen all of Australia until you've seen the desert.
It's cleansing, that's what you're really saying.
Totally.
Yeah, and the other thing about it is that what you've just said tells us something about what the Walpiri people are saying when they're gathering up all the information, is that the Europeans saw this place as a desert. They didn't understand it at all. And in fact, Europeans don't really understand Australian landscape at all, do they?
Yeah, I mean, you're out in these places and like I've just described as inhospitable and hot and everything, but you know, it blows your mind that people have been living here for tens of thousands of years happily and thriving, and you know that country is a part of them, and they know how to live on it, they know where to find water, they know where to find food, and it's really quite impressive, and it's an absolute tragedy that you know that knowledge wasn't recognized and revered by Europeans, and hopefully in our modern day today people are starting to get a bit more wiser and realize there is a lot of knowledge there. And it needs to be learnt about and respected.
Well, you know, also the positioning of the two cultures together, represented by the people involved, is very egalitarian in your film, which is important as well, isn't it?
Totally, yeah. And a lot of that is down to Patrick. You know, he really is an artist in every sense, and you know, he was doing this project going out from London to the desert for, you know, up to 6 months, a year at a time, and living on the country with the people and working with the artists. And, you know, it's a huge undertaking, and I think it almost broke him, but I hear the exhibition is doing well now, and it's amazing that those stories are being carried across all over the world.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. One of the things that was so amazing about this film was the originality. Like he's a man with originality. He's a genuine artist, like you said.
Yeah, total. Like it was fascinating just to be with him for 3 weeks. You know, he's very generous. He's very kind, and he is a true artist. You just, you know, you're one of those people that you're with, and you realize that their mind works in a different way, and they're so artistic and creative, and just to come up with, number one, to come up with the concept, but then also to to carry through with it and follow through with it over 10 years is quite an undertaking. And yeah, it takes a special individual to do something like that.
Well, to do the cultural persuasion and interaction with the local people who then said, admitted him.
Yeah. And that you know, the only way to do that is it takes time and patience. And you know, you're on Yuendumu time when you're out there, and things don't just happen. You know, like as Westerners, we're very schedule based. It's not quite like that out there. So yeah, he was very patient, and but I think equally the community really welcomed him in because they realised how genuine he was. And you know, you can just get a vibe from a person, and his was one of integrity and genuineness.
Yeah, because it strikes me that this film is like cultural. Well, his approach is like cultural guerrilla warfare, really, because it undoes the whole narrative of the colonial settler state.
Yeah, and a lot of a lot of it involves confronting your own biases and realizing that you know you have your own bias because of, you know, not things that necessarily aren't your fault, but like, you know, when I was at school, you know, my Indigenous education didn't go much past a boomerang and you know, those very kind of surface level things. And I think that is changing. I've got nieces and nephews where I can see they're learning a lot more, and that's great. But yeah, you realize that you go out there and you realize there's this whole other world that you don't know about, and it's a shame because it is so interesting and so mind-blowing that people lived here for so many years in the way that they did. I think it's a shame to learn about that.
Tell me, what effect has the project had on the Wilpiri people?
When the exhibition went to Germany, a bunch of the artists actually went out there, and it was in December in Germany in about minus 20 degrees, so you can imagine going from the central Australia desert about 40-45 degrees daily into minus 20. So Patrick sent me a bunch of photos of everyone over there, and they were loving it. Many of them first time out of the country, they had to get passports, so it was a big ordeal. But I think it's been an incredible experience for the community to be a part of it, and I think they're very proud. And I was back in Alice Springs last week, and I caught up with some people in the Arts Centre, and they're really happy that the story is being shared because, you know, it is such a remote part of the world that many people haven't heard about, but it's got stories to tell. And yeah, they're happy that the film is kind of with the exhibition traveling around the world, and it's also, you know, doing a few film festivals, and it's been seen around Australia now, which is great.
You said that you specialise in anthropological documentaries. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, I would say, like, if someone said, you know, what is your dream kind of project, it's really something like this, something that tells a human story that, you know, hasn't been explored before. So I love finding a story like this that is about people, it's about culture, and diving into that and discovering things that, you know, maybe people haven't heard before. Because I think if you gain a lot of perspective, if you have exposure to a lot of cultures, experiences and different ways of viewing the world, it gives you a more holistic way of seeing the world. And so that's what I try and do with my documentaries, is explore, you know, different cultures and different perspectives and ways of seeing the world, and hopefully that can make everyone a bit more understanding towards other perspectives.
Well, with revisions, did anybody help you out financially, or did you carry the load yourself?
There was a small budget allocated by the Art Centre, but it was pretty much a bootstrap kind of project, and which I was happy to be a part of, because, you know, me and Patrick, once we filmed it, I did the edit, and then we worked on it for quite a while, about 6 months of me calling him in London and doing online sessions and getting the edit right. And, you know, the editing process was quite long because all the interviews were recorded in Walpiri, and then we got those translated. So then it was a matter of going over transcripts and piecing together the story from, you know, several hours of interview. You know, it's only a short film, about 10 minutes. So there was a lot left on the chopping block. So maybe one day we'll make it into a longer documentary. But, yeah, the edit was quite a process, and how to tell that story in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. And actually, it's really funny because it's like a very rich brocade. It's quite amazing. You're like, you're watching this film, and by the end of it, you know so much, but it was hardly any time at all. Amazing. You did a great job.
Yeah, it kind of sparks the interest, and then there's lots more to learn.
Yeah. Where can people see it? Because I think people, this is a film that lots of people should see.
Okay, well, it is currently doing the rounds in the Australian Film Festival circuit. So I don't have exact dates in front of me, but it is this coming weekend. It's filming at it's screening at the Darwin International Film Festival on Sunday, mm-hmm. and then it's also doing a bit of an NT tour, going to Katherine and Alice Springs for their film festivals. It's in the Adelaide Film Festival. It's in the Brisbane International Film Festival. It's in the Sony Catchlight, and hopefully a few more like Byron Bay, and we're still waiting on confirmation of entry to a few others. So I'd say keep your ears out for your local film festival if you're in a capital city, or a few regional cities as well. The film is called Making Revisions, and it's a bit confusing. The film's called Making Revisions. The exhibition is called Revisions. And hopefully that exhibition will be coming to Melbourne next year, and Sydney as well, and maybe some other places.